August 17, 2020, it's a Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you. timer is broken. The temperature will reach 23 Celsius. The main gauge is the excitement for new adventures. We continue our travel from Paris, Cannes, Nice, furious to see Toulon.
Watch Pedro Show. Happy Monday. Brother Matt, out of Love Grotto, a couple miles south, Pleasure Point, still quit in Quarantino Moon. I have not seen him. Well, I've seen some pictures of him, but I miss him terribly. I've talked on the phone. I am not totally man alone, though, because of those engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got with me Will Hamilton. Welcome aboard, Will.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Now you're all loud. It happens every time. Yeah, because people before the show, I always have the guests do some levels, you know. But it's like sound check at gigs, right? Play off little until the gig comes and kick it out. And you're in Union Hill, Georgia?
I am in Canton, Georgia.
Now, Canton. Okay. Last time I stayed with you, was that Canton?
That was Canton, yes, sir.
Okay, now why am I thinking of Union Hill? Is it close?
Well, there's a Union Hill Road right down the street.
That's what it was.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So you leave the city and it gets dark out here really, really fast.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but it was like middle of the fucking night, I think. But
you fussed at me. You fussed at me that day. You said it's longer than an hour.
Yeah, but you know what? If you get there safe, it's victory. So yes, I was sir. A ridiculous to cuss at you for that. And also, in a way, it's kind of the road... People, if you're coming out of Atlanta, like, I don't know, Marietta, Smyrna, you know. In fact, that Les Paul signature I got's from Smyrna. So, in a way, it's kind of good to be outside of town, especially for the traffic and the next day. And so you just got us a leg up the next drive.
Yeah, it's quiet out here. But yeah. It gets kind of boring, but it's definitely quiet for sure. I guess that's a good thing sometimes.
Yeah, for a cockpit, it's a great thing.
Oh, yes, sir. Okay. It's safe, right?
Yeah, but enough about Watt and his touring. Let's, talk about Will Hamilton and his journey through music. Will, what's your earliest musical recollection?
So I always had music in the house growing up in my parents' house. But I think that the first thing that I really, really noticed about music and somebody being into it is I lived with my grandparents for about a year. My dad went back to school for the Navy. And I remember my grandpa, and I have his records now, would listen to jazz music. And he would put on his records, and he would go almost in like a trance. And he was a drummer. So you could just see his fingers moving, tat, 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 his toes tapping. And right then, I was like, man, you know, I want to be into something like this, you know? And he loved it. So I think that's probably my first memory.
How old were you, Will?
Sir?
How old were you?
Probably about 7.
And where was this? Is this New Orleans?
This was in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Oh, wow. Okay. Springfield. So West Mass.
Yeah.
Kind of Jay Maskus territory.
Right.
He's in Amherst, right? And, okay. People, you got to realize, military, Navy, you can live all over the place.
I've been everywhere, it seems.
So, but your grandpa's a drummer, man. So
yeah, he was a drummer, man. I don't know if he really did anything professionally, but, you know, he always had his drum set set up. I own it now, and it's kind of fallen apart, and I've tried to hold on to it as long as I could. But if I can't, you know, repair or fix it, it's going to end up being a lamp or something. It's something I'm not going to get rid of, you know?
Sure.
But, yeah, he always had his drums, his instruments. I just got one of his congas. My dad gave me just a few months ago, and he really, really, he was the first person that I know that was just into it. Like I said, that trance.
Yeah.
And it was just in his eyes. It was in his body. It was in his soul, right?
Right.
So that's what I remember.
Now, you said the drum set was set up. So did you jump on it?
I don't remember ever really jumping on it. I don't know if I was allowed to. You know, I don't know, but I never really jumped on it.
Okay. Well, what about school? Did you do a marching band or choir, shit like that?
So yeah, I did band. So I used to play saxophone a little bit. I started in fifth grade until about ninth or tenth grade. Did the concert, did some jazz band stuff, did the marching band, all that stuff. And for being, I'm from New Orleans, so you got the Mardi Gras parades and all that, sure, all that stuff that we did.
Sure, sure. You learned to read then.
I could read. Yeah, well, yeah, I've learned to read from on that level, junior high school and early high school level.
Sure,
but,
sure.
Yeah, I can still read a little bit. I don't have the practice, but I can still read a little bit.
Okay, I should tell people when we fucking first heard music-wise, we heard a Training In from John Coltrane. And then, from Europe, you made a big piece.
Yeah.
And this was the first part, debut theme for a travel journal named Too Long.
Yes, sir.
And then your name, right? Iriamu?
Iriamu.
Yeah. Now, we'll get into that a little later, but I wanted to play all the stuff because there's five parts, people, and it's a beautiful suite. But what I wanted to ask you was, first record you bought with your own money.
So I listened to your show, and I've been always scared since I knew I was going to do this show to answer this question. But the first record I bought with my own money was that Culture Club record, Boy George?
Sure, sure.
So that was the first record that I bought. And I guess it was probably 1982, whenever that came out, early 80s. And I guess I just bought what MTV told me to buy. But hey, those songs were good for a 12-year-old kid, 11-year-old kid, whatever,
You know, he dressed up kind of trippy and all that, and but I heard before he was a singer, he was a boxer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that a trip?
Well, I've learned the hard way in my life. You don't mess with anybody by taking a book by his cover.
That's right.
You ought to get yourself embarrassed somehow.
You might end up tumbling for him. now, what was the first gig you went and saw, Will?
So the first gig I went to go see was Prince. That Purple Rain tour is in the Superdome in New Orleans.
Sure.
And I was in junior high, went with my parents and my sister, who's younger than myself, and it was a good one. I wish I could have seen it a little bit later in life to, respect it, but we were way up in the nosebleeds, could barely see. But it was a production, and luckily I was able to see him a couple times later in life though also. But yeah, he was a great performer.
And Purple Rain, so it's the Revolution.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that was quite a band he had.
That is a great
right. He had
those,
a great
those records he put out with the Revolution all the way up. Sign of the Times was great. Even Parade, all those mid-80s.
Well, some of them he played everything, but as far as playing gigs, he had the ladies, Sheila E. and
Wendy and Lisa.
Actually, he ended up with a lady from Pedro named Patty Katera, and her name was, her show business name wasn't that.
She's Apollonia?
Apollonia, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking stupid what? Yeah, she gets on the motorcycle.
One of the first times she crashed with me, I had that cat, and I named him Apollonia. And then I found out he was a boy when he was licking himself. I'm like, well, his name's Lanigan now.
Yeah, Richard fucking Bonnie went to high school with her. She's a couple years younger than me.
Okay.
Look, I want to play the next part of your suite here, the Fisherman's Son.
Waves, they flow in layers.
bugs, the crustaceans, the fish. Waves have crashed on the rocks for so many eternities. So long that the rocks have turned to pebbles. But even as long as the waves have pounded, there is still so much rock to give way. Showing us the sea.
Thank you. Can't you see? I'm trying to go home. I ain't got nothing but a memory. Maybe I can borrow a smoke, take a toke, and tell some joker a joke. But who's got the nerve? Who's got the nerve to lie? And my poor broken heart. So that's why I think it's better drinking again. Thinking about when you left me. I'm trying to go on. With just a memory. Did you hear me when I said it the first time? That I'm trying to go on. I ain't got nothing but a memory. Just a memory. Just a memory. That's why I'm drinking again.
What's this heartless nippy-dippy-time? I can't afford your tradition. I wish you could change that station. When I look at you, I almost lose my composure. When I look at you, bored with your complications. I find it hard to make differentiation. Big eyes with funny concentration. Man, I still can't make translation. I look at you, I almost lose my composure. When I look at you, get a double exposure. Going, going, going.
is it imitation? I lose my rhythm, it's no exaggeration. I can't take all this education. It's all just imagination. No, no, I look at you. When I look at you, I get
Jeannie came over late and Johnny was a wreck. Fozzie stayed out late and Annie isn't back. The monkey fell in love and only just came back. Theo and Louise, they stuffed it in a sack.
These are the ones who would not crack. These are the ones who would not crack.
Connie came up early and Jimmy was a wreck. And Annie stayed out late and Fozzie isn't back. And Noni fell in love and Mikey just came back. Louise and Theo, they hung me on a hook. But they were never, never cracked.
These are the ones who would not crack.
Well, for Pedro Show. Yeah, that's the second part. Fisherman's Son. Iramu, otherwise known as Will Hamilton.
Right.
His alter ego. And then we had Tobacco. Mr. Time's got a brand new record out. Motherfucker 64 is the tune. A few after that. She's got a new album out. She's signed out of Osaka, but I think she lives in Tokyo now. But this is from back in late 70s. She made an album with the people from Cannes and stuff like this. And something called Circuit. Betty LeVette. I just got this from the Verve people. Drinking Again. She made a... Just made a record, and yeah, incredible. You know, music is quite a living force, man. It's a special thing us humans can share. We've got enough fucking open-mindedness latitude that way. Double Exposure, which is a tune from Television while they still had Dick Hell, and back in 1974, I think this was actually a demo for Brian Eno and Richard Williams. I'll show you to Maranayo after that with Sailor Blues from Countess of Gun. I'm just finishing up the art for Terza, the third album. So that'll be coming. The Hawk after that out of Iowa would not crack. If you know Iowa City, huh? The Hawk guys. I think Ron Emery from TSOL is living there now. And the third part, Rising to the Morning Market. What's the name of the whole piece?
The whole piece is called Too Long, travel journal.
A travel journal, like in the first part, the debut. Okay, okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, okay. So, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. So let's get back to, like, what about after school, when you got, like, the garage band, the basement band, the cellar band?
Yeah, so I actually started kind of late.
That's okay.
I went to the college and I saw all these guys up on stage and they're playing, because it was probably 1991. I went to college in 90, but 1991, and then like Nirvana breaks, and then the guys on stage kind of look like you, or just look like normal dudes, right? Because I wasn't really into punk. I had to go back.
Well, I usually don't get called normal,
sir.
I usually don't get called normal. But you mean I don't look like somebody who would be on stage?
Yeah, so I'd go back in time, so I didn't know about punk. I'm still from, I'm from Slidell. It's a small town, and, small groups that are in that. So, when, the hair bands were gone and all that, and you saw, guys that were just normal Joes, I guess, the flannel-wearing guys, right? And then I would go to, club shows when I was in school and, met a lot of those people. And one of my roommates, it was a songwriter, and he says, "Hey, let's start a band." And I said, "All right, let's start a band. I don't know how to play anything." I said, "I'll play bass."
You know sax.
No sax. Well, sax had been gone for a few years.
Oh, okay.
I haven't played in a few years at this point.
Okay, okay.
So I said, "I'll play bass." And then one of my good friends was a bass player, and he had a bass to sell. So I bought his bass, and he says, "Well, I'll play drums. I got a drum set over at, so-and-so's house." So he grabs drums, and there's another guy with us. He goes, "I want to play in the band. I'll play bass too." So this band's name is Frog Dog. Wow. And we started off with two bass players, a drummer, and a guitar player. And I couldn't play, I didn't know how to play anything. And we got together and wrote two songs the first time we got together. And really, almost to this day, the only thing I know how to play on bass are songs that I've been a part of. So Frog Dog songs or Irioma songs or Lean, other bands that I've been in. So we did it the old school way, sat in a garage in Louisiana heat in the summertime and pulled a set together and played a few months later.
Yeah, what was that first gig like, Will?
So the first gig we opened up, so we're lucky enough to have connections in the small town, and we asked one of the club owners to come, to our practice, and he came and said, "Hey, you think we're ready? Put us up?" He's like, "Yeah, you guys can open up for my band." So it was a reunion show for the club owner's band, so there were a good number of people there, and we opened up for them, and it went pretty well, and for a first show, one of the reasons I think why I still try to play now, and I don't know if it's egotistical or not or what it is, but you play a song that you guys have you know, written and sweated out and played 100 times in the garage, and then someone claps afterwards, that's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
And we're like, wait a minute, people are clapping to this crap, you know? But ever since then, and we had a lot of friends too in a small town, so people supported us and people came out and we got better and better, and that lasted about 2 years, and then we kind of separated, not for a bad reason, but just, we were in the middle of growing up, you know, because like I said, I was about 21, 22 at the time, and it was like, okay, what am I going to do, you know, with the rest of my life type of thing. So we kind of just split up, but I don't know if you want to go here, but, you know, 20 years later, Katrina happens, the storm in New Orleans, and, you know, we'd all kind of gotten separated. I wasn't there. A couple of my friends were there. And then we got together one weekend and said, let's do this. You know, let's play a show. Let's do some recording. You know, let's get together. We're friends, you know. And we did, and that ended up turning into some reunion shows we play every couple of years. And we ended up recording old songs, but we wanted to document them because we just never documented them. And we wanted to, you know, just kind of leave something behind, if not for, you know, just for us, really, you know. So
sure, you know, you talk to New Orleans, were you, you know, there's a school there, right, a Catholic school called Tulane.
Yes,
they had a great radio station.
Oh yeah, 91.5, I think,
KTUL, and they had a show on there called The Toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
And the Minutemen was on there. In fact, Minutemen once played on the campus.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In fact, it turned into kind of almost a war because D Boom was getting out these stickers and these guys did not agree. Well, they weren't really they were stickers, but you had to lick them. They were like big postage stamps.
Okay.
You know, the size of bumper stickers, but no adhesive, like, except for like you got to lick them, you know.
Right.
That's
right.
A big fucking stamp. Anyway, you know, I was just like, if you don't like it, you know, maybe not get one.
Yeah, just don't take one if you don't want one, right?
I know.
Come up on Facebook, just keep on scrolling if you don't
D-Boone,
like it.
D-Boone didn't, was it forcing them or foisting them on anybody? He says, after the gig, Gabe, you want? Because I'm into this kind of message. And, but still, it was, and also that the Toolbox, they would have, I think it was Monday nights, something with with the statue of Professor Longhair at the Hatch.
Tipitinas.
Tipitinas, yeah. So they would like do live broadcasts from there.
Oh, yeah. Tipitinas is a great place. They're having troubles right now, along with a lot of other
parts. Yeah, yeah, of course. It's very heavy in there. Very heavy. But, God, the history there, you know, meter-wise and all kinds of great-ass people. Great bass man, mm-hmm. George Porter. I mean, what a music town.
Yes.
You know, when you were younger, were you aware of, thinking of your grandpa and shit, Congo Square?
I did not know about Congo Square until later in life. I was probably I knew it was there, and I kind of, you know, knew the significance behind Congo Square. But I was 30-something probably before I really respected the fact that you can trace. When I tell people now, when I bring them to New Orleans, I say, hey, we need to go by Congo Square. And I tell them that you can trace almost all of at least American popular music, no matter, you know, whatever you call popular music, back to this spot. You know, the blues turns into jazz. I mean, yeah, sorry, jazz turns into the blues. Blues turns into rock and roll. Rock and roll spreads all over the place between punk and garage band and all these different things. And you can trace all that back to how many square feet is it?
I know.
200 square feet, maybe, you know? And then there's a marker there to commemorate that. So you could trace everything back to that one spot where the slaves had Sundays off, and they would come out with their drums and stuff, and, you know, they'd play African rhythms, and then you might have a couple folks that had horns because they were playing in the slave master's house, and they had to learn classical European music. So you mix somebody playing either classical European music or just blowing through a horn with those drums, and then they created a whole new thing, you know, and you can trace all that back to one spot in New Orleans.
Yeah, I've had on the show a couple times Louis Michaud, who does Cajun and Zydeco stuff, and he was talking about the connect. I mean, it's really vital, and I think more people in the U.S. should know about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it should be on every pamphlet. You know, they do a lot of the music tours, and I don't know if they are. I haven't taken a guided tour in New Orleans in a long, you know, probably since I was a kid, you know. But, I mean, definitely, if I bring somebody new there, and it's, you know, off-season, it's not hard to get around, I definitely say, hey, you need to stop through here. Let's walk through here. You know, yeah. You're listening to whatever you're listening to, and you can trace that back. And I can give you a tree all the way back to Congo Square.
Yeah, and I'm like you. I was a little later. It wasn't until I was, you know, doing Minutemen tours and playing at Jimmy's on St. Charles. But, hey, going to town, there's a place. What? Where it all came together. Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Why didn't they talk about this on American Bandstand?
They should have. They should have.
Well, it's never too late, right?
Never too late.
Like you said, you got started later in music. You know, Vincent painted only his last 10 years. Joe Baez started guitar at 27.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I don't think it's ever too late.
Yeah, and I put on my first solo release at 47.
Yeah. You know? See? So, because, you know, music's part of life. It's not just if you won the lottery to be child prodigy.
Mm-hmm. This is true. And for me, I had to be ready. I wasn't ready. You know, I wasn't being honest with myself when I was trying to write by myself.
Yeah.
So I can write bass lines all day long and then, you know, bring them to the band and they work stuff around them, you know?
Sure.
But it really took me a long time to try to write this record. It took 10, 12 years. Part of it was I wasn't ready, and part of it was I was trying to write that midlife crisis record, and then I woke up one day and I was like, wait a minute, I'm not really in crisis, you know. One of our good friends in Toulon was like, you know, when you write, you have to be honest with yourself. You can't write bullshit. You can't write something that is
absolutely correct, Will. But I gotta we're going to get into that, but we ran out of time. We're at the end of the first hour. August 17, 2020, this WAP Pedro Show, special guest, Will Hamilton. Hold tight for hour two. August 17, 2020, it's the second hour of the WAP for Pedro Show. Thank you.
eyes on the horizon. We are waiting on the fullness. Sailboats are in the forefront. Their masts creating shadows in the rippled water. Calm, the prelude of what the night will bring.
Oh, baby, I hope you'll come and see me. in a motel room. Everybody I know, hey, look at me. And everybody I said, you better set me free.
Neka nagrada za trud koji sam uložio, da je objasnim kako stoje stvari, kako stoje stvari. Lakše je poslati to manijaka da se smeši, nego zastati i razmisliti gde se greši. Ali najgore mi je od svega što ne znam šta ide posle njega. Napišem poruku i čekam, čekam i čekam. Gledam psihopatu u oči i čekam dok postaje mi jasno da sada već je kasno za bilo šta osim tog osmeha. Pišem poruku i čekam, čekam i čekam. Gledam psihopatu u oči i čekam dok postaje mi jasno da sada već je kasno za bilo šta osim tog osmeha. Čekam, čekam i čekam. Gledam psihopatu u oči i čekam dok postaje mi jasno da sada već je kasno za bilo šta. Oh,
Walk from Pedro show. We started the second hour off, fourth installment of the theme for the travel journal named Toulon. Toulon is a big Navy town for France and the Mediterranean people, South France. If you need a geographical.
That whole base is down there.
Yeah, if you would need some kind of reference. And so the fourth part here, Dinner with Creoles, Sunset. And then we had Sam Bennett. He's lived in Tokyo a long time now. But he's from Birmingham, Sun Ra town. Baby, I hope so. The Dicks after that. Yeah, Gary Floyd, incredible singer, man. Up in the city, but originally Austin. Well, I think originally he was Arkansas, Little Rock. And Dead in a Hotel Room. Motel Room, big difference. Kyle Porto Rose after that. From former Yugoslavia, Moncore, Smajil, from Nemi Pešnik, the Slovenia part of the former Yugo, Atspiani, it's probably episode 11, from the Milovaj Mica Markovic Jazz Band, and this was during the Yugo times, the TV theme music, like 70s. And then finally, Finn, which means the ending, Aramu Will Hamilton's piece, like he was alluding to last time we spoke, people. He was, how many years? 10, 12?
Yeah, it's probably about 10 or 12 years I've been trying to write something by myself.
Yeah, but Will, let's talk about the first stage when, like you said, you wanted to write something about a midlife crisis that hadn't happened yet.
Well, part of it, like, I talk about not being ready. I talk about probably needing to practice more, and I was trying to record everything myself. So it was a lot of just getting that together, right? So there was a lot of that. And then I'm going to tell a secret, but I'm kind of faking it a little bit. So I can barely play guitar. You know, I can play, you know, I can't really play a keyboard like a real keyboardist can play. You know, I know where middle C is, and I count, and I know what key I'm in, and then, bam, let's find a melody or something. So it just took a long time to be able to write something and to have some kind of a theme. And I always wanted to work off of some kind of a theme. And I was like, well, you know, I'm, you know, 30-something, and, you know, I'm living in New Jersey, and I don't want to live here. I'm going back to Georgia, and, okay, let me write about life. And then I'm complaining about life. I'm trying to write it and trying to write the music, and I was trying to write the lyrics and trying to express that in some way. And then one day I woke up, and I'm like, I'm not in crisis. I'm just kind of whining a little bit, you know?
So, little belly aching.
Do what?
A little bit of belly aching.
Yeah, I'm just belly aching. I'm complaining. You know, I got a gig. I'm working. I got a wife, and I didn't have the boy yet, or the boy was young, and I have a son, and he's pretty awesome. I'm like, what am I complaining about? And I just couldn't get that. I couldn't write it. You know, nothing ever came out. You know, so, and I have a lot of files on my computer of just junk that just was. It's not. It wasn't the right thing. So it really took, when I took this trip, that's what kind of, it was inspiring. So I got to see a great band. I got to see a Hefe Club. And I got to meet the guys. And I spent a day with the guitar player. And got to see city, got to travel. And I'd never been to Europe before. And it's good to, you know, meet other people and talk to different people. And especially, you know, with the language barrier, I find that when I love speaking to people who have English as their second language, because you got to pay attention to them. You know, you got to kind of look them at the eye and pay attention to make sure you understand, where I can talk to somebody here and, you know, it's going in one ear and out of the other. So I really enjoyed that. And I got home, I said, I think I can write about that trip. Let's talk about the beginning, middle, and end. That was probably one of the best weekends I had, was in Toulon. That weekend, and it was great. It was inspiring, and finally something to write about.
Inspiration, you can't buy it in a bottle, right? Life has to show it to you.
It's so got to.
I want to play some of that first band, the Frog Dog.
Thank you. not really. Well, that was a rock and roll song. And this is, I get this from the same guy, but it's kind of a universal theme. So I kind of changed it around a little bit. Sort of a blues. What you doing on the stairs? Come on in, honey, what you doing out on the stairs? Come on in, you don't have to knock there. Ain't no window and there ain't no lock on the door. Oh, come on in. I'd like to know more. Come on in, you're looking just like a ghost. Come on in, now you're looking just like a ghost. Well, you crept into my dreams so unannounced, but let me tell you, honey, you won't get thrown out if you just come on in. Oh, come on in, what you doing? Got a lot of future, but you make me feel like I don't understand. But I know there's nothing else to do. So come on in, what you doing out on the stair? Come on in. What you doing out on the stair? Come on in, you don't have to even knock. Ain't no window and there ain't no lock on the door. Honey, don't worry that you've never been here before. Come on in, what you doing on the stair? Ah, oh, come on in. What you doing on the stairs? Come on in now. What you doing out there?
Get for working the blues. some shampoo, and a cavity search, raccoon eyes, smear with crocodile tears, cause afternoon bouts of inexplicable fears, perpetual stares from provincialized strangers, worn at the heel, exponentially older, some sloppy goodbyes and truck stop hangovers, the emotional range of a tortured teenager. Oh, how I cry, be my breast but I die. Took to my bed that day that you slithered away, bit my lips till it bled, but survived anyway. Okay. Oh, look at me. Oh, my little broken heart is blue. A remortgage future. I drink on the house with a twist of resentment. Begrudgingly served by some barmaid who hates you. A pocket full of numbers on crumbled up paper, scrawled in the blood of people not quite remembered. A brush with the law, a sock in the jaw, a mouthful of dirt, and baby, that don't taste good. Oh, how I cry, need my breath, but I die. Took to my bed that day that you slithered away, made my lips a little red, but survived anyway. Okay. Look at me, can't you see my little heart? So-
Watch for Pedro show when Will Hamilton was a younger man and alongside another bass man in the band. How'd you work out the parts? Did one guy like play rhythm and the other guy lead, or they were two rhythmic parts?
We kind of played almost the same thing, two different octaves type of style. And sometimes we would play something different. I was usually playing at that time what the guitar player was playing, you know?
Okay.
And then Jeff was the other guy. And that, I don't know which recording you have, but that one is probably just the one bass player, probably just me, because Jeff didn't make it back for reunion time when we recorded.
This is the redone album, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a redone. But yeah, we used to play, you know, one high, one low. Maybe somebody play on the fifth or something like that. You know, it was just different songs, different things.
Harmonies. Okay. We have Pete Lautner from the old Cleveland scene after that. Come on in. Little Annie, Paul Wallfish, along with Kid Congo Powers, Price of the Blues. Swenson Clane out of Canada with Simplex. After that, Wire Lines, Traffic. Thum, brand new, Roadkill. The Born Shitsters, they were on a few episodes ago. Some expats in Fukuoka. Cup Ramen Poison. Flying Vipers, the new, John's new record, Twin Donuts. Got the Family Man thing going with the bass. I got to see Family Man with Bob Marley. And what a bass.
With Bob Marley? Wow. I saw the Wailers later, you know, probably in the 2000s, and they were great still.
Yeah, this was at UCLA at 78 or 79 at a basketball arena, but it still was bitchy.
Wow.
And then finally, William from Frog Dog. Now, why would they have a song called Wait? Is this your song?
No. So actually, the funny thing is I told you my drummer was actually a great bass player. I bought that bass from him. And he was in a band before that named Mother Earth, and they were on the brink of quote-unquote making it, right? So a manager wanted to sign them. He promised them a bunch of things, and at the end, he stole all their shit. All their instruments, stole whatever money, broke up the band. Those guys had hard feelings for a long time because they were four friends. You know, they'd known each other forever. And broke up that band because, you know, one guy didn't want to sign with the manager, blah, blah, blah. You know, he saw it was bullshit. But, yeah, so, and his name was William. So, for Mr. William, we wrote a song, and the original song was called William Sucking My Dick. And I think we cleaned it up a little bit because, you know, we're, you know, almost 40 by the time we recorded the rework, right? But the original was called William Sucking My Dick. So yeah. Here you, William, bam.
Right. But he was kind of the hero.
William?
No, it was the other guy that wouldn't sign.
Oh, yeah.
who wouldn't sign, right? That guy was the hero, right?
Yeah, that guy was the hero. He's probably still the smartest guy out of all of them.
So William got suckered. Okay.
Yeah, so William did the suckering, and he stole everything from everyone.
Oh, she was the manager. Oh, okay.
William was the manager.
Okay, I understand now. Yeah. So yeah. Maybe like a dick leech.
Exactly. That was for William. That's, you know.
Yeah, you know, John Fogerty did something like that with that center field record. He says, Zanz Can't Dance, but he'll steal your money, and he got sued, and he had to change the words.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, but then he won on Old Man Down the Road, because he got sued for that. So Zanz said, you know what, you did Run Through the Jungle with different words. And John Fogerty brought his guitar to court, and the judge sided with him. But he lost it on the words. He said, you can't use his name. So they had to. But there was already a whole bunch of press. So sometimes the only kind of way you can get back is through your songs, maybe.
Hey, it made us feel better, you know, because that band was great. And, you know, like I said, kids and small town and William, the manager, came in and really screwed him over, you know.
So maybe there's a lesson to be learned there that younger future people, we got to tell them to watch out.
Yeah, don't believe everything you believe. If you can do it yourself, do it yourself.
What did Chuck D say? Don't believe the hype.
Don't believe the hype.
Don't believe the hype. Because that's probably what it is.
Yeah, and it was all hype.
like some people, they fish, they use lures, right?
Exactly.
We're at the end of the second hour, Will. August 17, 2020 edition, Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Will Hamilton. Hold tight for hour three. August 17, 2020, it's the third hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
In the shadow of the future. Thank you.
For Pivo Show, we start off the third hour with Frog Dog, effed in the head. Now, people, Frog Dog's got a silent P, just like psychiatry. Whose idea was that, Will?
So that was the same night we decided we were going to start a band. I had, we named it Frog Dog because I had this country guy that I worked with. I was going to see Fishbone that night.
Ah.
And he said, who are you going to see? Fishbone? Frog Dog? Fish what? And I said, I'm going to see Fishbone. He goes, Frog Dog? I'm like, no. So I told that story to the guys, and they said, yeah, send the band, you know, Frog Dog, that's going to be the name of the band. And then the other bass player, my buddy Jeff, goes,
yeah,
let's put a P in front of it. And we're like, yeah. Like, that was some great idea or something. I don't know, but that's how the silent P got there.
Well, you, okay, okay, because.
Drunk talk.
But there is a German way. With a P and an F.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, like there's a spice company named Pfeiffer.
Oh, and the way, yeah, that,
and the
yeah,
way
yeah.
you're supposed to pronounce it, I got hip to was you say an F, but you make your mouth like a P.
I wish there was something that educational or that great about that silent P other than four drunk 20-year-olds trying to name a band.
But it's parallel universe there, Will.
Now,
you know what? Then I got to tell you, after that was Crane and Skip with Simple Times, Mold Omen. Mold Omen's back out of Baltimore. I found some new, they got new music during this Quentin Quarantino mode. And, yeah, Stoop. And then finally Push from Frog Dog. I'm interested in, though, the Toulon adventure. I mean, you came back from this righteous journey and really inspired. Now you know what to write about. But how did you set out and organize?
Well, when I thought of the idea of writing this piece, I knew I wanted to write it in the stages of the day, like the highlights of the day. So debut is, you know, we're on a train, we're entering the city. I'm excited to see what happens. You know, I'm excited about being there because I knew that we had a great weekend planned. I was meeting good people. I had plans to meet good people, and I knew that it was going to be, you know, a great trip. So that's debut. Rising to the morning, and then also I had my field recorder with me also. So I just tried to record as many things as I could with my little, you know, handheld.
Yeah.
So rising to the morning market was, you know, the next morning. We wake up and there's a market underneath our apartment that we had rented. And I could hear, the guy that you hear in the beginning of that song.
Yeah.
And he's just, you know, he's kind of saying the same thing over and over again. I don't know what he's saying. And I can hear hustle and bustle, but I just need to record it, you know? So I'm like, okay, I'm waking up, the sun's coming up. And I tried to create, like, the sun is rising, the beginning of the day. The third song is the Son of a Fisherman. So I got to spend a day with a guy that I've really only spoken to online, and has been very inspirational in my creation, Buddy Nico. And he said, he's the guy that told me, you know, you can't write bullshit. You got to write what you feel. Don't fake it, you know. So I've been, you know, speaking to him probably about 6-7 years or so now. And then I got to meet him and his family. So he's like, oh, let me take you out to where, to the sea. So he takes us out to the sea, and we walk to where he used to walk as a kid, and he's telling the story. So these are all stories he's telling us, the octopus stories. Dad used to jump off the back of the boat, and they really like try to wrestle octopus. And then the Batalia is these little crustaceans that are on the rocks, and the sound of the waves, and just all those things. So I wrote about that. That night we ended up having dinner, and we went to a Creole restaurant. And I was really interested in the Creoles, because being from New Orleans, it's like, okay, Creole here, Creole there. And I was trying to, you know, through my, you know, non-existent French and then their, you know, lack of English, I'm trying to understand where they came from, you know, because the Creoles, like out of New Orleans, are just a mixture of folks.
Yeah, yeah.
From, you know, from the islands and from all over, but he's French and all over. So I was trying to see if there was a kinship, even on that Creole, I was trying to see if there was a kinship, you know. It was funny, I met one person, and I showed him I had a fleur-de-lis on my tattoo on my arm. And I said, hey, I'm from, you know, New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm trying to explain to him. I'm excited that I see this Creole rest. I'm trying to understand. And he was like, okay. And then I spoke to another friend, and like, oh, yeah, it's King Louis flower. And then just me being, closed-minded, just not understanding that this is only a few years of history for them. Whereas, like, all our history of New Orleans, you know, just when the French ruled that area.
Yeah.
So, anyways, back. So that is
dinner
with the Creoles. And then Finn is leaving. A lot of people said that was something that's kind of dark. And I don't think I really meant it to. But it was just the end of that part of the trip, you know. So
yeah, there are always some.
That sounds like that.
Yeah, some kind of sadness. You made some great friends.
Yeah. So I got to see, you know, old friends. I got to meet a new friend, a couple new friends. You know, met the guys from the band, and they were all really nice to me. And we got to spend time with Nico and his family. So it was great.
You're having it. I want to play Heaven, Frog Dog.
Louis Cole. Thank you.
Watford Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Frog Dog doing heaven. Let me call with mean it. Like Nico says, right? You gotta mean it.
You gotta mean it.
Yep, and Honda, Berardi, and Hay. Joe Berardi with Motoko Honda. I wonder about Hay. Something from about 12 years ago live. God, where was that? Culver City or somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Piece number two. They, you know, in that improv scene, they don't title songs. They just.
right.
Yeah, there's one before, after, and one before. And then finally, the last tune for this edition, I thought had the funniest title of the Frog Dog record, the Tori Amos song.
Oh, yeah. That's the crowd pleaser right there.
Now, where'd you get this title?
So, my singer was in love with Tori Amos in 1994.
Okay.
And she had that God video, and then just, she was all over the place, and I started playing piano, and she was just really into it, and she's great. You know, I haven't listened to a Tori Amos record in a while, but, you know, she's definitely, to me, in top 10 of if you want to classify female, you know, alternative singers from the 90s, at least. PJ Harvey being number one. Just throw that in. But, yeah, he loved Tori Amos. And, like I said, the songs were, I don't want to say juvenile, but the songs were what comes out of a 20-year-old kid at the time, you know? But, yeah, people love that song. And I'm happy to hear it. We've been closing shows with that song for almost 30 years now.
Wow. I wonder if she knows.
I doubt it. Either that, she probably put a cease and desist letter on us or something. You'd be getting sued like John Fogerty, right?
Oh, man. So, what music's taught you was, it's a great way to express yourself, but that's not where it stops. You still got to be inspired.
Yes, sir.
It's almost like you could spend your life sharpening the pencils and never get to writing the story.
That is true. I'm finding now that is complete. So it might have been just a block with myself. Like maybe I just didn't feel like I could share or something. But, I mean, the last few months haven't been very productive. Just, you know, with everything that's going on, COVID and all that and blah, 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 work sucks. But, I have a few things, planned and I have a few things in the pipe. So I have three songs that I have in, that I'm going to use on a split with some friends in Germany. We're hoping to have that out in spring. And then I have this mindset now that I just want to put stuff out. I just want to document. I want to get it out. I have, you know, a little self-label that hasn't made any money, but I've kept it open to where I'll do publishing. I'll do whatever. I want to do a cookbook with my mom.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big one. I want to put out my mom's cookbook. And, you know, let her write some things and do a cookbook and just, you know, have a physical thing for her, you know?
Sure.
I want to put out another project. I think I've started on it, but I want that to be big. I want to do video and I want to take pictures and I want to, you know, create music around all of it. And that's going to be working. Title right now is The Beauty in Ordinary Things, because people, you know, make shit superficial when there's just beauty in a lot of things. Could be a wells of flowers still beautiful. That's going to be the big one.
I want to tell people that me and you share something with our pops. They're both machinist mates in the Navy.
That's true.
It's such a bitching thing getting to meet your pop. And then he gives me a keychain of a screw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have it and I cherish it.
Yeah, my dad's always like, tell Mike I said hi. you tell Mike you said hi.
Well, I say hi right.
Playing middleman.
I say hi right back. Yeah, you don't want to be the bologna in the sandwich, Will.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see him again. But me and you will always share that link, besides being bass man and music man and stuff. And I can't wait to see you again. It's been a big honor to finally have you on the show, Will. Thanks so much.
And thank you so much. Honor to be here.
Okay. People, it's been the August 17, 2020 edition of the Watford Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.